I want to thank you for being with us this morning. It's always delightful to see Craig and Brenda, and know you've been delayed and you're waiting on the Lord. And so we've been praying for you, and we know that God has His timing and all such things. So when He wants you there, you'll be there, and you know those things. And Craig's one of the most relaxed people I've ever known. He was my roommate in college, so I've had the opportunity to observe both he and Brenda on a close scale there, and it's been a privilege to know them all of these years and to see their faithfulness in serving the Lord and walking with the Lord God and to see the fruit that God has borne in their lives there in Mexico. They've been involved planting churches for those years, as Craig mentioned, and it's just been a wonderful thing to see their faithfulness and how God is, in His grace, has used their lives for His glory. And it encourages, it's certainly an encouragement to see that faithfulness and see the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. So we're going to keep praying for you. We're committed to doing that, and we'll know that and already excited about the fruit that God will bear in Spain once you get there. And the heart of the children of men is in the hand of the Lord. So when they have to give that visa up, you'll be there, and we'll be rejoicing with you. Well, let's take a look for just a few moments into the Scripture. We want to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Let me just say this. As we come to the Lord's table, we have an open communion service. And what that means is that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're welcome to partake that service with us. And that means that you've been born again, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're assured of your salvation, that eternal life that He has been given, it's your gift. And so if you have experienced Christ in that way, then you're welcome to celebrate it with us. And if you're not a believer here this morning, we don't want you to feel at all uncomfortable. It's perfectly legit and just a great thing for you just to observe what's taking place. So, don't feel one thing or another. Just kind of look on what's going on and ask someone about things that you may have a question about or interest in that takes place in the actual service. So we're just a relaxed body here, and we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a special time when we really experience His presence with us in a very special way. And we celebrate together the wonderful thing that has happened in Jesus Christ. And that means that we're given a personal relationship with Him. So in that personal relationship, as we remember Him and remember what He did on the cross of Calvary when He died for our sins, there's a special fellowship and time that we have together during this Lord's Supper. So we want to reflect and think on that a little bit. But I wanted to talk with you just for a few moments about a biblical perspective on love. Because, we're coming tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day can be just a really wonderful and joyful time for some folks, and it can be really a truly depressing time for others. And, there's a lot of thoughts and a lot of emotions that go into Valentine's Day. But I want to reflect on what love is and the biblical perspective on love, because sometimes with all of the hoopla from things, different types of celebrations that we have and things that come along during the year, we lose sight of some of the essential and fundamental things that are important to us. And so when we consider a biblical perspective of love, I wanted to use the verse that we have addressed in 2 Thessalonians 3:5. It's actually a prayer from the Apostle Paul, but he prays that, I'm sorry you don't have any notes today, you just have to write them on your bulletin. I do have a few points that you might want to jot down But the passage there in 2 Thessalonians 3:5 is a prayer from the Apostle Paul for the believers, and he prays that may the Lord direct or guide your hearts into the love of God. So the Apostle Paul is concerned about this question of love. He's particularly concerned for these believers that their hearts might be directed into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now, the steadfastness of Christ, we address that, but it has to do with perseverance or faith, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this concept of directing your hearts or guiding your hearts into the love of God is what I want to pick on this morning a little bit, because it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, and it's a time when we're reminded of the deeper longing for satisfaction and security that love brings in life. And I think that's pretty much the essence of what the Apostle Paul desired, wanted to for the Thessalonian, these new baby believers, to experience and know something about. And so that thing that you have within you that strums at the deeper inner feelings that you have and longings for the satisfaction and security that love can bring, the love of God, love of family, love of others. We're designed to yearn for love and acceptance. That's the way God created us. And God made us relational, so we need relationships. And in the body of Christ, not only do we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have a relationship with one another. And we need to love and be loved. And we're designed that way. That's the way we were created. And so here's a question for you. I want to just pose a question for a few moments. What is the measure? And just think about what it might be in life. And you're already thinking about these things, but I'm just articulating something. What is the measure of love that you will know in your lifetime? You know, that's going to kind of vary the measure of love that you experience, the satisfaction of loving others and having relationships with people, so that when you get to the end of your life and you look back, that there should be some satisfaction at the measure of love that you have enjoyed in life. Are not enjoyed. You know, those measures maybe can vary. And I think this is sometimes the thing that troubles the heart of so many believers, Christians, and other people, that we have that yearning, we have that longing, and yet there's the question mark, wonderment of how much love will I experience in my lifetime? What is the fullness of the satisfaction that I will know and attain from the relationships that I have and the life that God has given to me? I think that's a pretty big question on folks' heart, and you know, we look at it and consider it. But I want to go to a passage of Scripture here. It's Ephesians 3:18-19. It's a pretty well-known passage of Scripture. But you can look at that or jot that verse down so you can look at it a little bit later. But it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth. Now, catch this. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, let's think about that for just a second, because, again, the Apostle Paul's prayer here is that he may guide or direct your hearts into the love of God. And here we're looking at the parameters, the measurement, the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God, the love of Christ. And he prays that they might be able to comprehend and to know that love, to know the love of Christ. So this word for comprehend is actually, sometimes we think in terms of, well, if I comprehend something, I understand it. All right, but the idea here is more of apprehension than comprehension. Now, what does apprehension mean? Well, it means that we grasp or we take hold. And so what Paul's praying here is prayer for the believers is that they might apprehend, that they might grasp or lay hold of the measure of love, right, in Christ Jesus. That's pretty cool. You think about it. God has a plan for our lives that we might know the fullness of that measure of love and satisfaction of who He created for us to be. And so the measure of love is the apprehension of the love of Christ according to Scripture. Okay? So here's a point now that I want to make. To apprehend the love of Christ, and the idea is if we're to apprehend that measure and what we want to think about as we come to the Lord's Supper and as we meditate on some of these things, we meditate upon the love of God and the biblical perspective of actual love, that we might apply some principles that would help us to know the fullness of the measure of love that God intends for us. So we know that by faith, but to apprehend the love of Christ, first of all, is to know that it is passionate, but it's not merely passion. Okay? So what I mean by that? Well, sometimes we get the idea that love is simply emotion, it's simply passion. And so what we find is that our passions sometimes run very high and then they bottom out. They run very low. So if a person tries to, for instance, establish a marriage on simply passion, what they find is, a few years down the line, that passion sometimes subsides and sometimes it's just completely gone. But it should be an ongoing thing, a growing thing. And our passion, both for our love for God and our love for others, should increase. So I guess when you use the term passion, you need to understand that there's a biblical sense of passion. And I think sometimes because of sexual immorality and different types of problems that we try to push down and stifle passion. But I want to just say this. God wants your affection. He wants for you to be a passionate person about His truth, about Him, about love for Him, about love for righteousness and the things of God. He wants you to have passion for the right things. And so sometimes, we get the idea that we need to stifle passion, but we don't. We need passion that is controlled, but love is not merely passion. Although passion and affection is very much a part of it. Let's move on here. Number two in the apprehension of the love of Christ is it is characterized by devotion. Okay, so, if we're talking about real love that is the measure of love, the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, there needs to be passion and affection for the Lord, for the people that we love and care for. But there's got to be commitment there. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be devotion. Because if you don't have devotion, you don't have love. You have two people feeding off other, or you have you feeding off the Lord God because of what He can do for you. But unless there's a sacrificial devotion and commitment to that person, it's not real love. And I want to tell you that your measure of love that you will experience in life will be grossly unsatisfying before it's all over. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ in John, you can write this verse down, John 10:11. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Okay, so what we're celebrating this morning is the expression of love and devotion, the expression of the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you enough and so much and was so devoted to you and was completely committed to you and willing to lay down his life for you. So listen to this verse. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21, and the Bible says that God made he who knew no sin to become sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. So what does that tell us? It tells us that God took your sin and gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great love for you, he died on the cross for that sin, for the scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's you. That's me. And the wages of that sin is death. So what does that mean? It means that we were separated from the Lord God. Separated from him forever. The one who created us. But because of his great love for you, he made his son to be sin on your behalf. So what did Christ, what did God do to, for you? He took the sins that you committed, the penalty of that sin, placed it upon his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on your part, for the wages of your sin was death. And then God not only took that sin and gave it to him, but he took his righteousness and placed it upon you. Well, that's a lot of love. That's devotion. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was meaning and what he said when he said, I'm the good shepherd, I'm leading you, and I will lay down my life for you. He was telling his disciples that. That's love. That's commitment. Willingness to give all. Not only in service, but in sacrifice. Number three, to apprehend the love of Christ, we need to understand that the emotion is controlled by knowledge and discernment. Did you realize that? Because sometimes we think that love is a feeling, okay? But the scripture tells us, and this is in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, and the Apostle Paul in another prayer prays that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. I'm just willing to say to you that you can't have love, the emotion of love, experienced as God created it, intended for it to be, the full measure of love that he intends for us as his creatures, unless there's real knowledge and true discernment in regard to that love. Okay? So I don't care if you're working on a personal relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband and wife or any type of relationship. There has to be knowledge and discernment involved and entwined with that emotion, or else it's not the fullness of the measure of love. And real knowledge and discernment means not only knowledge of the person, but understanding who they are and where they come from. And unless you understand certain things from Scripture, you can't have that type of understanding. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we have a world full of people that want love but cannot experience it because we're broken. There's just things that are broken inside of us. And we need this knowledge and discernment that goes along with the emotion of love and care for someone in order to truly be able to love them and care for them. Number four, to apprehend the love of Christ is to understand that it is pure. Okay? In Philippians, it goes on to say in verse 10, so in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, and so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Okay? There's purity. There's got to be sincerity in true love. You can't have true love without purity, without sincerity, and without getting rid of the baggage and the junk that we have. And so if we're going to experience the full measure of love and life, then we have to understand that there's got to be not only devotion and self-sacrifice and real love, but there must be purity and sincerity in it. Now think about this. If you got stuff going on and you've got all of these walls and barriers and you're deceiving and trying to manipulate someone to get whatever it is that you think that you want out of them, what kind of love relationship is that? And how satisfied are you really going to be at the end of life? Not very satisfied. But if you know the purity of being able to honestly speak to someone and to express genuine sincerity of love and concern for them, think about the value of that. Think about the purity of it. When you talk with someone and you know they're not trying to mess you around, they're not trying to manipulate you, they're not trying to play games with you because they're honest, they're sincere, and they're pure in their heart. So we need purity of hearts if we're going to experience the fullness of the measure of love, don't we? Because if you have that kind of thing going on where you're just playing games like so many people do, there's no love in it. It's all just want. It's what somebody wants. And they're just simply trying to manipulate you or get what they want out of you. But they don't know about the purity of genuine love and concern. And so if you don't have that, you don't have the measure of love. And my word to you is that you'll never attain to it, never reach it, unless you develop and God develops in you purity so that you can speak honestly with someone. And they can know that you're not only telling them the truth, but that you're devoted to living to the truth before them. So they have the confidence and the security of knowing that your love expressed to them is something that they can depend upon because you're devoted and committed. And so to know the measure of love, we need to know that reality and that truth. Number five, love, the apprehension of the love of Christ, and to know the full measure of love means that we must know its righteousness. And then it goes on in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. This is verse 11. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Think about this. You know, righteousness means that it's the golden rule set in action. You know, treat someone as you would have them to treat you. Care for someone the way you want to be cared for. Devote yourself to someone the way you want them to devote to you. What I'm saying is this. If you don't have it in your own life, if we're not developing the full comprehension and apprehending the love of Christ, then we're not able to have relationship with others. Okay, so now I want to just say, let me direct this to your attention for just a second here. Some of you may be thinking about in Valentine's Day, well, I have this longing and I'd like to have a relationship and all of these things. But I want you to think about something different. Think about how important it is and how God would want you to develop these characteristics. That if you can apprehend the love of God and know the fullness of the love of God, and Christ might direct your hearts into the love of God, and you're developing those things, then God is going to make your capacity for the measure of the love of God in a tremendous way, ready for that time when you can have not only a relationship with a husband and wife or a marriage relationship, but also with relationships with one another. Because we've apprehended the love of Christ, and it's being exercised in our lives. These are the things that we need. And it's the things that if we focus upon them, then we'll wait on the Lord for the fullness of the measure that He wants to give to us of the love that comes in Christ. Because God loves you with a deeper love than what you can comprehend right now. And I could put it in words 100 million different ways, and you still would not grasp the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of how much God loves you and longs for you to know all of His fullness that He, as your Creator and as your Redeemer, desires for you to know. But you can't know it on your own. You must do it His way. Therefore, if you're longing and you're tired of waiting, maybe it would just be good to step back and say, I'm going to commit myself to apprehending the love of Christ in a fuller and greater way. All the righteousness, all the purity, all the emotions under control of knowledge and discernment, all that the fullness that God intends for you in the love of Christ. And there's a final thing here, a final point that we want to make to apprehend the love of Christ is that it is the essence of service and sacrifice. So as we come to the Lord's Supper, remember that Jesus Christ died for us here on the cross of Calvary. The Scripture tells us that for even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. Think about this. The one who created all things, doesn't he have the right to be served by you? Doesn't he have the right to for us to devote our lives and to be his slaves? But Jesus Christ didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And what he taught us is this, that real love is the essence of service and sacrifice. So if you want to really love someone, if you want to grow your capacity to know the fullness of the measure of God's love for you and the fullness of the satisfaction and security of love in your life, then I'm telling you that in the authority of God's Word, then you're going to have to develop some of these characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ. To know what it is to serve others and to know what it is to sacrifice, to know what it is to devote yourself to other people and to love them with the love of Christ. May He add these things to our lives and may we know the fullness of these things. I want to ask the men to come forward for the...